Hey everybody, welcome back to the Be Better Tomorrow podcast. I am Jason Fisher, your coach on this journey towards personal and professional growth. If you're new, this show is about finding actionable tips and ideas that will help you be better tomorrow than you are today. Before we get started with today's topic, I want to remind everyone, just go ahead over to bebettertomorrow.com where you can find all of our social media, our Twitter, our Facebook, our Instagram, follow us there. If you haven't already, if you're a new listener, go ahead and subscribe to us or at Spotify, there at the website or wherever great podcasts are found. You know, I have remarkably few Apple listeners, which just said something about that community. No, I'm just kidding. I love my Apple folks. I've actually thought about switching to Apple various times in my life. I'm just not smart enough to change my habits from all the Windows and Android stuff that I know to go completely into the Apple ecosystem. I've tried. It was painful. So go ahead and do that, and then we're going to talk about a topic today that's really close to my heart. I am found out a long time ago that I'm a fairly argumentative person. Now, it's not that I mean to argue with people. I don't actually enjoy the argument, but it's the way I process information. I process information and learn things and understand topics like our court system. It has to be adversarial. And it doesn't really matter which side of the discussion I'm going to fall into. If I'm around a bunch of people who are all leaning left, I'm going to lean right. And if they're all leaning right, I'm going to lean left because I want to understand things from both sides. I didn't realize this was a unique thing, and I found myself getting into arguments early on. Now, I enjoyed the discussion, but it did push a lot of people away. And I've discovered here later on in my life different ways to try to avoid those kind of conflicts or to help people understand what I'm doing to accomplish it. So this episode, I'm actually going to call Fighting Words, and it's about finding ways to avoid some of that conflict. This one particular example I've been really dwelling on recently started with a miscommunication. Now, we just covered one episode by the time this drops, the four phases of communication. In short order, it's what you intend, what you say, what they hear, what they infer. So there's four places where conversation can go wrong. And this person and I were having a miscommunication somewhere. We knew it, we felt it, we were trying to understand where it was. When I tried to repeat back what I heard in an active listening manner, his response was, "Oh, you misunderstood me." And he proceeded to tell me why I misunderstood. And he used words that were a little bit triggering for me, if I'm honest, that I had interpreted things emotionally and not logically, I believe was the word that he used. Now, I consider myself a pretty logical person. I may have been entering into an emotional state at this time. That's fair. But I don't think I interpreted his words emotionally as opposed to logically. One of the things that I pushed back on him with, past that, one of the things I pushed back on him with was, if he had simply said, "We are miscommunicating," and then reiterated his point, I wouldn't have gotten defensive. But because he said, "You misunderstood me," it felt to me like he was putting the blame on my shoulders. And of course, having just recorded a podcast about this, I was in the mindset of, it's hard to blame somebody in a conversational miscommunication because there's just four phases where anything could have gone wrong. And without having a recording of the conversation to go back to and kind of judge it with a jury, like nobody would want to do anyway, it's really difficult to say, well, this is definitely where it's wrong and it's your fault. But little things like that can make the conversation much, much worse because you're creating an emotional reaction in people that you don't intend to. At least I assume you don't intend to. If you're that kind of person who just likes to stir people up, get off my show. I don't want to hear from you anyway. But if you're the kind of person who really is trying to find genuine understanding in a conversation, avoiding blaming words is a great way to do that. We don't want to use, of course, probably most people have heard, you don't want to use terms like always and never. You always do this, you never do that. That's most likely not true. It's very almost impossible that it's an always situation. And the person will simply hone in on that word and think of the one exception to that rule and then disregard your entire argument. So I think it's safe to say we know that's not something you want to use. But I would not necessarily have expected something like "you misunderstood me" to be something that would have triggered me. But it did. So if you can avoid any kind of blaming or projecting onto the person something they may or may not be feeling, that's a great way to start. You know, another thing I've used recently, someone in a conversation we were having, they had been, I think, triggered by something. And I felt they were getting defensive. The room conversation had changed. I had that feeling. But instead of saying, "Hey, man, you're being defensive," which would have only made him more defensive, my response was to say, "Hey, I perceive you as being defensive right now. Is that accurate?" That way it puts the blame on me if I'm wrong. I'm perceiving this way, and I could be wrong. Please tell me if I am. It's kind of the long form of that. And in the moment, this person stopped and said, yeah, I probably am a little defensive because of X, Y, and Z. That's not my intention. Let me back down. So it gave him the opportunity to change the tenor in the room. I didn't blame him for anything. I didn't push anything onto him. I took it on myself. That's why when you say things in active listening, like, okay, let me tell you what I heard. Let me repeat back to you what I heard. And you let me know if I've gotten it right. That way, if there's anything wrong with it, you're not pushing the blame onto them. You're taking that responsibility yourself. Whether it's really your fault or not is really not the point. You may or may not have misunderstood them correctly. They may have miscommunicated on their side, but you can't fix that if you start getting into a fight. And these fighting words will rile people up and put them on the defensive. And it just stifles the conversation in ways that you don't want if you can help it. It's not worth it. My other favorite thing that I can't say anymore is the word why. If you've ever had a small child, you know how annoying and tedious that three-letter word can be, especially when it is repeated over and over again. And if you start, well, if that's the only word you utter in your question, you sound like a three-year-old and you're going to annoy everybody. But even starting a question with the word why do we do that? Why is that the case? Why did you say that? It puts people on the defensive. There's better ways to phrase it. For example, instead of saying, why did we do it that way? Or why did you do that? I like to use, help me understand the reasoning for that decision. Or can you explain the reasoning for that decision for me so I can learn? Again, I came to a lot of these cases when it was easy, when I was a consultant and I was coming in and out of companies regularly. I wasn't expected to know everything in the background. I had to ask those questions. And what I really learned is in the moment when I'm asking those questions in these ways, nobody was offended. Whereas when I had been in a company for a few years and would ask, why'd we do that? Well, then I could see people's hackles get raised. I could see them get on the defensive. And it just stifled the conversation, as I've said. Whereas if you can rephrase it in a way that's more passive, I guess, more humble, then what you get is a good response because they want to help you. If I say, why did you do that? Well, then they feel they have to explain themselves to me. And they may or may not have a good explanation formed in their head, and they may get frustrated at their inability to communicate that effectively. Whereas if I ask for you to help me understand so that I can have a better understanding of the culture and the community, why do we do this? What's behind this that I don't understand? Or say, I don't know if I would have made that decision, so you must know something I don't. Can you explain it to me so I can learn? Well, that comes at it from a place of humility, especially if you mean it. I do my best, although I'm really not perfect, that when I disagree with somebody, and somebody I respect especially, to assume that they know something I don't, or they understand something differently, and ask them to help me understand it. I want to be able to steel man their point. So if you're not familiar with that concept, there's a term in kind of argument and rhetoric called straw manning, which is you build the weakest form of your opponent's case that you can, a man made out of straw, and then you blow it away. And steel manning is exactly the opposite. It's building the strongest version of your opponent's case so that you can understand it. And then if you are going to attack it, you're attacking that strongest version and making your rebuttal the strongest it can be. It's used in debate more often, hopefully, than in your personal life or even in a business relationship. I mean, this really all boils down to the concept of staying curious and humble. If you're coming into these situations trying to win the debate or trying to catch somebody so that you can prove them wrong or attack them in some way, it's not going to be productive. Even if you win, long term, it's not going to be productive unless you're in some sort of really toxic culture, which I really hope you're not. So if you're the kind of person, you're always finding yourself wandering into arguments and disagreements, or you're having high conflict when things are getting challenging and the room is getting tense, examine the way you're addressing your colleagues or your spouse even, and find out if you're using some of these words that come across as aggressive. The always, the you should have, or why did you do that? Those kind of questions that are really meant to put people on their back foot. And maybe they're not meant to, but they certainly do. And they're not going to help you win any friends or build a good relationship with your spouse. So if that's something that's happening often, especially, if it's happening in your organization, and you can watch other people having these conversations, then you can see what's happening and what habits are there. And then it's easier to find those flaws in other people. Then you turn the lens on yourself once you know what kind of things are happening, because you're probably doing the same thing if it's part of the culture. Okay, now it's time for our listener letter of the week. If you want to send a letter in and have me answer it on the air, I would love to. You can reach me at jason@bebettertomorrow.com. So this letter was very complimentary, but I'm gonna jump into the center of the email. My question revolves around the potential challenges one might face when attempting to stack multiple habits simultaneously. So this is around habit stacking we talked about in the last episode. For example, if you wanted to adapt a routine of morning exercise, meditation, and then a work session before the workday officially begins, without overwhelming yourself, how would you do that? Is there a golden number of habits one should aim for or avoid or worry about dilution of focus? It is very easy to jump in to too much too fast for anything, really, not just for stacking habits, but for anything we get excited about. If you go to the gym the first time and you lift all the weights, you're going to be very sore the next day. If you go out and try to run a 5K when you've never gotten off the couch in the last year, you're going to burn yourself out. When it comes to habit stacking, I admire what you want to accomplish. I would start one at a time. If you stack too many habits onto that morning routine, you are going to feel overwhelmed, and each one of them is going to feel like you're struggling to do something. Once habits are established, they're part of your life. Your life feels like you're missing something if you don't do it, and that's when you have officially established the habit. So let's say we start with the morning exercise. Well, do your morning exercise routine. Don't overdo it. Ease into it so you don't hurt yourself. Consult your doctor before doing your morning exercise routine. You do that for, let's say, 7 to 10 days. And then maybe at that point, I have a buddy who loves to start new things every 10 days because he feels like that's enough time to get them established. It's not like the first day of the week, so it's a little off a rhythm that makes him have to think about it a little bit more to get started. But say 7 to 10 days or even 2 weeks, and then add the meditation piece, because by then hopefully that exercise habit has been established. Although some studies do say it can take up to 30 days to truly establish a habit and like 7 days to break it, which is unfortunate. Then you start adding your meditation. Well, then let's do that for 7 to 10 days, and then jump into that deep work session. I don't think there's a golden number, because once, like I said, once these habits are part of your life, they're no longer something you're taking as much effort to do. The things that become part of your life, they're natural. They just happen. They're things you're going to do regardless. That's what you're looking for with each of these habits. So as you're taking that habit that you have, stacking something else on top of it, they bind them together in this golden string of routine that makes it that's just your new morning routine. If you don't do those three things by the time that's established, then it starts to feel awkward, and that's what we're trying to get to, that point where this stuff is effortless. All right, that'll bring us to the end of another Be Better Tomorrow episode. Again, I'm Jason Fisher. It's been lovely spending some time with you. Thank you for making me part of your day. I do consider it an honor and a privilege. I hope today's episode has given you some things to ponder, some things to think about. I know this particular episode comes at it from the heart of where I am. This is something I've been challenging myself to change over the years. There's times where I've walked away from conversations having said something, brought up an argument, and just regretted it and still think about it to this day. So I am finding if I can be the better communication person, I'd rather that be my identity than the argumentative person. If you found value in what I've shared today, and I really hope you have, please share this podcast with your friends, your families, your enemies, you know, those argumentative people in your life. Share this with them. I'd be glad to talk to them. Engagement from my listeners is what helps me keep going. It's really exciting to see new messages, to hear from people, to see new downloads. If you are looking to connect with me, it's Facebook.com/BeBetterTomorrowPodcast. Twitter.com/BeBetterPodcast. Or Instagram, BeBetterPodcast. Someday I'll buy that Facebook URL from that person if I ever make enough money to make it happen. All right, remember, no matter where you are today, there's always room for growth. Keep pushing and learning and growing, and I hope you found something here today that will help you be better tomorrow. Be Better Tomorrow is released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike attribution license, which means you can use this show or clips of it for anything you like as long as you give us credit and you aren't doing it for commercial purposes. The music you're hearing now is by Kevin MacLeod of IncomTech, also released under Creative Commons share-alike license. All the information about this show and others can be found at BeBetterTomorrow.com, and I hope, as always, you'll find something to help you be better tomorrow.